Are you thinking about getting a new car? Redwood Credit Union offers affordable auto loans for new and used vehicles. You can even refinance an existing loan with us. Our quick loan process will get you in a car you love. The road to your next ride starts at Redwood Credit Union. Easily apply online at redwoodcu.org/auto or ask for RCU financing at your dealership. Redwood Credit Union, for all that you love.
He's humble.
Coach Walsh, without you, I'm not standing on this stage today.
He's a man of honor.
When we huddle up as a team. I advocate that we take the lead of football and huddle up as a people, as a great nation.
He's lifted the Lombardi. He's earned the gold jacket. And now he's laser focused on a championship for the faithful.
San Francisco!
Here's 49ers GM and Hall of Famer John Lynch with Murph and Mac.
Sponsored by Zenni, the official eyewear of the 49ers. Find your prescription glasses at game-changing prices at Zenni.com.
On KNBR 104.5 and 680, the sports leader.
Oh, come on, man. A lot of excitement for this Niners-Colts game Sunday night, nationally televised. You're going to get like one of those old-fashioned sloppy track games, too. I'm not going to lie, Copes. I like a game with some dirt and some mud. I like the stuff to get a little messy out there sometimes.
So yeah, it'd
be kind
good.
Throwback vibe on Sunday night. We're going to bring in John Lynch right now, 49er general manager, talking about, all things 49ers, injuries, details for the game, et cetera. John, good morning. You're going to be talking to Adam Copeland and for Brian Murphy today.
What's up, John?
On the Murph and Mac Show. How are you, John?
Hey, Copes. Hey, Polly. How you guys doing?
We're doing good, man. We're doing good. There's a lot of anticipation for this game coming off the bye, and I think some of the Niner fans are anxious about seeing DeForest Buckner again. And I kind of want to start there this week, John. You know, he said a lot of stuff about his return to the Bay and how meaningful it is to him, how important it is. And I thought that in itself was interesting that he revealed that much. Like, he goes, yeah, this is personal, and I want it to be there, and I do have a chip on my shoulder. So this is a very inspired guy coming back. The Niner fan base really loves this guy, and I know he was great in the locker room as well as on the field. And maybe you could just tell us kind of your experience with some of those discussions, because he referenced them a few times. You know, he said, hey, look, I talked to John. We tried to work something out, and we couldn't get on the same page, and obviously he's moved on. But, you know, from the John Lynch perspective, maybe you can tell us about some of those conversations and what led to his departure.
Yeah, well, first and foremost, I mean, I think we have to prepare for an outstanding player. He's an opponent this week, and I've been in those shoes of DeForest. You know, when I was released by Tampa, he wasn't released, he was traded. But when I had moved on from Tampa the next year, I went back as a Denver Bronco. And yeah, you love a lot of people in that organization, but it's kind of like playing against your brother. You want to beat the hell out of him. And, you know, I'm sure that's what Buck is feeling. And so, and he's an excellent player. He's an excellent human being. We loved everything about DeForest. You know, I think at some point it's, you know, we hashed and rehashed a lot of that. When we made the move, it wasn't a move we made lightly. You know, when you're putting together a roster, it's a puzzle, and you work hard. You say, okay, if we bring him back, it's one thing. Now, if we it was a tough negotiation at some point, you know, there was, all right, if you can find a trade partner, someone who will do that, who will pay him that, you know, then go find it. They brought back a real nice pick, and we had to make a decision and with that pick, and a bunch of other players that we could keep. A lot of people, and I'm sure they'll continue to talk, whether that was the right move, wrong move, but it's the move we made at the time, and, you know, we did not make it lightly. Buck is a, you know, I'm huge fan of him as a player, as a human being, and like I said, the task at hand is playing against a great player this week and in a game that we really need.
Yeah,
talking to 49ers general manager John Lynch, and the player that, you know, nobody wants to say he's a carbon copy. And I remember when he was drafted, you said Javon Kinlaw is not necessarily the absolute replacement for DeForest Buckner, but the development has been hindered a bit because of the injuries. He wasn't out there a bunch this week. How would you assess Javon Kinlaw's play and growth as a player since you drafted him a couple of years ago?
I think he's exactly the player we thought that he would be. Unfortunately, that has been tremendously, not just a little bit, hindered by injuries. And it's an injury he had in his first year, and that thing has kind of stuck with him. We're searching for answers. We still are very resolute that he's going to be a tremendous and has the makings of a dominant player, but you have to be healthy in this league to do that. So he's struggling through that. We're trying to help him find answers, and we're working towards that, and it's unfortunate, but that's always a risk in this league.
You know, this season, John, has been a lot of talk around the 49er injuries because it's a weekly thing you guys are contending with. And I just want to start with the quarterbacks this weekend. Sounds like Jimmy Garoppolo under center and Trey Lance will likely be sidelined. So I guess a couple things here. One, how's Jimmy feeling? Do you expect him to be at 100%, close to 100%? And then I was hoping you could give us a few words about what will be the backup on Sunday night, Nate Sudfeld, the guy we haven't seen and we really don't know that much about. So Jimmy's health and then Nate behind him, John.
Yeah, Jimmy's doing really well. He's done a great job coming back from that calf contusion that he got versus Seattle. And he did a nice job of rehabbing. He stuck around the bye week, as did Trey, because they were both were hurting. And so they gave each other some company. But Jimmy's practiced well. I don't know about 100%. Very few people are 100% at this point in an NFL season, but Jimmy's doing very well and has practiced at a high level. Nate Sudfeld's a guy that that Rich Scangarello, our quarterback coach, had familiarity with him at Philadelphia. He hadn't played a lot, but he's a very talented young man and has always made teams, and I think that's saying something. We brought him in, and we like his skill set. He's a big guy with a big arm, and he's also got a high level of athleticism to his game. He can move, and so we're very comfortable if Nate is to go in the game. But really, really happy that that Jimmy's coming back, and Trey's on a really good course. We'll see next week where he's at, but Trey's healing at a good rate right now. But Jimmy's back in there, and we're ready to go with him.
I hate to jump off on a whole bunch of injuries, but it's sort of the nature of the team right now. It's the nature of the league right now. Colts are dealing with a whole bunch of them as well. We'll get into the Colts in just a minute. But Trent Williams was at practice on Monday and spoke to the media, and then Wednesday, Thursday was not there. We were just talking to Greg Pop about it. He said he wasn't really sure what the status was, if yesterday was a maintenance day. What can you tell us about the health of Trent Williams? And if he's not able to go, is it Jalen Moore? Is it Tom Compton? What's the move at left tackle?
Yeah, I think it truly is a questionable thing. I think it speaks to Trent's toughness that he never missed a snap against Arizona. I mean, he played throughout that game and came out with both a tweak to his elbow and to his ankle. And they persisted throughout the bye week. The bye week helped him, but he's not there yet. Trent is a tremendously tough individual, aside from being as skilled as he is. And so he wants, in the worst way, to play on Sunday. And we still have some time. He's not there yet, though. He hasn't practiced yet. He's done some things to the side. He's still working through it. So I think it truly is a questionable situation. And, you mentioned, Copes, a couple of the potential replacements. There is Jalen Moore, who's performed at a high level in his rookie year and has been able to go in there and play against Seattle. He played some snaps and played at a high level. And Tom Compton always is an option as well. He's a guy who has flex inside and outside and can play that tackle position.
John, we're looking ahead to Sunday night and just, thinking about the conditions that this game will be played, and we're expecting some pretty heavy rains on Sunday and into the evening. So running the football is always important in any NFL game, but I feel like with Shanahan's offense, it's always at its very best when the run can get established early and then the passing game opens up and all of that. And I know Shanahan would like to run the ball somewhere between maybe 20 and 30 times a game. When Mostert went down, they've had other injuries in the backfield as well. But it sounds like, maybe you can fortify this, it sounds like Elijah Mitchell is going to be ready to rock and roll. And I guess John would get a bulk of the carries. Is that accurate?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Running the football and running it well, and not just well, but explosively. I mean, I think that's something we've done this year. We've run it efficiently, but we've always been an explosive run team. And, Raheem has a lot to do with that, but that's always been the nature of this offense. And so we got to find some of those explosive runs. I think Elijah Mitchell, Trey Sermon are perfectly capable of that. Hasty has had a good week of practice, still questionable for Sunday, but if he can make it through today, we feel good about his ability to come and add. Jeff Wilson, really coming on his injury, won't be ready this week, but in the near future, you know, some weeks down the line will come in and bolster us. So we're starting to get healthy there, and we need to, because that is a very important, it's the foundation of our offense. And not only do we need to run it efficiently and effectively, we need to start being a little more explosive in our run game. That's important for us.
Are you thinking about getting a new car? Redwood Credit Union offers affordable auto loans for new and used vehicles. You can even refinance an existing loan with us. Our quick loan process will get you in a car you love. The road to your next ride starts at Redwood Credit Union. Easily apply online at redwoodcu.org/auto or ask for RCU financing at your dealership. Redwood Credit Union, for all that you love.
John Lynch with us on the UMA guest line. You mentioned Jeff Wilson Jr. there, and I know that was a loss because he was supposed to help this offense big time, and especially once Raheem went down. I think we were looking to a veteran or a guy who knew the system to step up and be involved. Elijah Mitchell looked really good. I'm wondering if you guys, there were reports yesterday from Josina Anderson. We've heard Marlon Mack on the trade block for the Colts for a couple of weeks. He's been getting carries in their offense, but they've got Jonathan Taylor. They've got Nyheim Hines. Have you kicked the tires on Marlon Mack? Is that something that you would maybe be interested in, trying to acquire another running back and established running back, a guy on a one-year deal?
You know, when you hear those reports, I know Josina, she was a beat writer when I was in Denver, and she does a good job. Nice. But I mean, you do your due diligence, and Chris Ballard and I are very good friends. We talk about a lot of things around trade deadline, which is after Chicago that Tuesday. So after next week's game, that Tuesday, as that gets close, you kind of call around the league. The league calls you and say, hey, you know, we've got this guy. Would you have any interest? Let us talk about it. And so I think a lot of those reports are born of that. What I do know about Marlon Mack this week is we're playing against him, and he's a really good. You talk about, they have a very formidable running back group. Jonathan Taylor, he's a really unsung guy in this league. He's about as good as it gets, man. He is. He has got breakaway speed, and he's a very strong back, about a 220-pound back. But then they throw Hines and Mack at you. It's a very skilled running, and that's a big challenge for us to knock out that running game so we can get after Carson Wentz and that crew.
So just real quick then, back to Jeff Wilson Jr., is there confidence he will be back this year, that he'll be able to help this team maybe sometime after the trade deadline?
Yes. Like I said, it's not in the next couple weeks, but kind of beyond that, he's doing really well. He's had some real positive, I think, breakthroughs here in the last couple weeks in his recovery. Good. You know, and Jeff's not only a good player, Jeff brings an energy. There's certain guys that
nice.
Just kind of, instill an energy in your team. And we need that from Jeff. He plays with such a physicality. He's an important guy for us. So we're looking forward to getting him back.
Yeah, I always love hearing him say he goes to a dark place before a game.
Yeah, that's my guy.
He runs with some ferocity when he's out there. So, yeah.
There's not just words. You see it. He does go to a dark place.
No. Yeah, totally, man. We really miss him. And go ahead.
You like to go to battle with those guys. Hey, I wanted to ask you just quickly about the secondary of the Colts here. Julian Blackman went down. Feels like this is a huge loss. Papa was talking to us about how he's kind of like, he's a Peanut Tillman type. He'll go hunting the ball. He's a ball hawk a little bit, forced a fumble earlier this year, deflected some passes. You played safety back there, man. As far as the mentality of a team when they lose, that sort of blanket over the top, a guy who really changes the game. How do you think this is going to affect the game plan, both from the Colts' defensive side of things and maybe how Kyle attacks with the passing the ball through the air?
Well, I think it's like, you mentioned earlier they're facing the injury bug. They have in a big way this year, and kind of the theme when I was home this weekend, and you get to sit there with your DirecTV, seems like other than a couple of teams, everyone's singing that same song. Hey man, the injuries like never before, you know. So something going around the league, but yeah, just in practice, Julian Blackman, and he is one thing that's really impressive about their defense. Is that you feel, it kind of feels like back in Tampa, my days, we had Sapp up front, you had Brooks at the next level, and then myself and Rondé on that third level. They got Buckner, they have Darius Leonard at that linebacker level, and then Julian Blackman was really that stalwart in the back. So he's a big player. It's a big loss for him. I will say that they have capable backups, like Andrew Zendejo is a very good player who's played in this league for a long time, and Kari Willis have done a good job. But sure, yeah, I think that's a loss for them not having Blackman, because he's not only just a good player, he's a playmaker, he's a difference maker. So that is going to be a loss and something they're going to have to figure out how they're going to fill.
Couple more questions for John Lynch. You know, John, you mentioned playmaker in that whole concept. One thing I think the Niners have been lacking in this year, it's just generating turnovers on defense. I mean, you know, we talk to Ronnie Lott every week for years, John, and he used to come on the air and say stuff like, he would say, listen, when you're out there on defense, it's not just about making stops. It's also about making plays. Like, you go out there with that mentality. Hey, we can make some plays out here. And that, of course, includes taking the ball away from the offense. So you being a former great defensive player yourself, what's involved there? Like, what, when a team is lacking and getting taking the ball away from the other team, like, what can you do? I don't know the answer. Like, what can you do to provoke that or to increase the likelihood that, yeah, we're going to knock a ball loose. We're gonna pick this one off. Like, what do you do when you need turnovers and they're just not there? They haven't come.
Yeah, first of all, I mean, I think always in this league, the things you emphasize get done. And it's something we constantly emphasize. So it's frustrating that it's not getting done. We have a meeting called the ball meeting every Thursday where we talk about that. We talk about the correlation between winning and losing. And it's a very strong one. When you win the turnover over battle in this league, you win games.
Right.
We show examples around the league. We chart how many opportunities did we take. You see the peanut punch around the league. Darius Leonard, their guy, is one of the best in the league. Fred Warner is incredibly skilled. Josh Norman's very good at it. It's kind of a trend going around the league. But we got to start attacking the ball. I mean, the thing we should have is interceptions here. We have a front that's going to hit the quarterback, and typically those things are tied together. So we got to get eyes on the quarterback, and when he throws the ball, we got to go attack it. And Ronnie's right, as he usually is. You got to attack the football, and you got to not just stop the team. We get plenty of three and outs. We got to start taking the ball away, and that's what the great defenses do. It's what we did in 2019, and
sure,
it got us to a Super Bowl. We got to get some of that back. That was a big focus during the bye week. It always is, but even in intensified focus this week.
John, you just said that during the bye week last week, you had a chance to sit on the couch and watch some DirecTV. Do you ride with Red Zone, or do you bounce around? You watch all the games. You go Andrew Siciliano, Scott Hansen. What's your mode of watching during a bye week?
Yeah, first of all, I went up, took my family up to Washington State, watched our son play up Stanford, played Washington State.
Oh, fantastic.
Sat next to the town drunk from Washington State, so that was wonderful. But got ragged the whole game, and had to keep my composure. So, and watched Stanford lose a tight one at the end. But then got back Sunday, and the answer to your question, I'm not a Red Zone guy. I like kind of dancing between games.
Yeah.
And then I like focusing on one game that's maybe meaningful to our team for a while.
Sure.
But it's hard not to get that, that urge just to let's check out all the games, because I never get to do that.
Yeah,
it's fun to sit home and just work that clicker.
Yeah, that's fun, man. Hey, I know we just got a couple more minutes here. We talked to Kyle about it last week. You played for John Gruden. I just wanted to give you an opportunity to share some thoughts on maybe what happened with him and his resignation from the Raiders. A coach been around for a long time, Super Bowl winning coach. Obviously, these were horrifying things, but I just wondered if you had any thoughts or a take or something you wanted to share with the fan base about your experience with John, or what your thought was on what happened with him and the end of his career with the Raiders.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, always be grateful to John. We won a Super Bowl together, and so thankful and grateful for that. Someone asked me if I was surprised. Sure, I was surprised, because I didn't know that to be his heart, and those things were, you called it horrifying. That's exactly, it's just not something that I would think would come out of his mouth. And he didn't just do it to one group of marginalized people. He did it to a whole host of them.
Yeah.
I had the opportunity during the bye week. I reached out and was surprised he actually called me back and had a good conversation. He feels a tremendous amount of remorse, and as he should. And that's what you do. You reach out to people and say, hey, thinking and praying for you. And I just simply said, hey, when you're ready, give me a call. And he did. And we shared some thoughts. I'll leave that privately. But he is extremely remorseful and understands he's got to make up for that however he can. And I think those are his actions. And that's the only thing he can do at this point. I think a lot of that team, that was a very close team, and a lot of those guys have reached out to him and trying to pick him up, but also let them know that, hey, that we were all hurt by those comments, because we didn't expect that coming from him. So I'll leave it at that. But, you know, it was terrible, and he's paying a price. Lost his job, and is in a lonely place right now, you know, feeling the consequences of those actions.
Well, listen, John, we appreciate your comments there, and I know it's an unfortunate situation for really everybody involved. But thank you for speaking out on that and everything else, man. We always love having you on the show, John. So onward and upward. We look forward to Sunday night, and we'll talk to you again soon. Thank you, John.
See you, John.
Hey, good talking to you guys. Thank you.
Are you thinking about getting a new car? Redwood Credit Union offers affordable auto loans for new and used vehicles. You can even refinance an existing loan with us. Our quick loan process will get you in a car you love. The road to your next ride starts at Redwood Credit Union. Easily apply online at redwoodcu.org/auto or ask for RCU financing at your dealership. Redwood Credit Union, for all that you love.